Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25. Our theme for this morning is that humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor. And we draw that from what is said in verses 6 and 7 about not exalting yourself. So Proverbs chapter 25, this is God's word. These are more Proverbs of Solomon, copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily into court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As a north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, again, the chapter starts out by identifying the fact that this is sort of an additional collection of some of the other things that Solomon said. This is not one cohesive unit, but as far as a theme that I want us to focus on in this chapter, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7, and also verse 27, and we're going to do so in the context of Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. So what are we looking at there? Well, first of all, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Got that? Don't try to elevate yourself in the presence of the king. And do not claim a place among great men. Don't stake out your spot and say, I'm going to move to the top. I want to be there. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. Look at Luke 14, 7 through 11. Jesus is having a meal at a Pharisee's house. Luke 14. And verse 7, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's repeat verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, some would say, so Jesus was actually kind of getting his teaching from the Old Testament. Well, yes and no. Jesus, as a man, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But Jesus, as the God-man, God incarnate in Jesus Christ, didn't just know the scriptures really well. He was the one who had, by his Spirit, produced the scriptures. So Solomon, in a very real way, got his wisdom from Jesus rather than vice versa. But here Jesus is reaching back. He's at a Pharisee's house, remember. They memorized large quantities of scripture. Jesus is reaching back into the Old Testament to a passage that this Pharisee and many of the guests would have been familiar with and saying, you're not doing what you've been told. You're coming into the meal and you're trying to make sure you get the best seat, that you get the spot of honor. That is not good. Imagine how humiliating it will be when you've tried to put yourself in the place of honor and the person who's in charge, the host, says, I'm sorry, but you need to move somewhere else. This seat is intended for this person. Would you say that would be a little bit embarrassing? Especially since the reason you got in that seat was in order to put yourself in a position of honor. And instead, you end up, at that point, the other seats are taken, and you end up having to go take the lowliest seat, as Jesus said, the place of least honor. Now, again, Jesus says that in the house of a Pharisee. And he says it in response to what he saw going on. And he presents it by quoting something from Solomon, which they should know. But Jesus didn't just say what we should do. Jesus showed what we should do. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, tells us that we are to have the same mind in us that we see in Jesus. Verse 5 of Philippians 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus wasn't just telling the people, you need to humble yourself. Take the lowliest place. Jesus did that. He did that. We cannot imagine the humility that Jesus displayed simply by becoming one of us. The difference between an infinite God who is holy, 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 and a human being who is very finite, and in the case of everybody else on the planet, very unholy, the difference between that is far greater than the difference between, say, a human being and an ant. A person is so much bigger, so much stronger than an ant. But God isn't just a lot bigger and stronger and wiser than we are. God is infinite. He has always been. He is everywhere. He knows everything. Not just more than we know. He knows everything. And yet, he became one of us. He was birthed in poverty and placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He grew up in a town that was not well thought of by the other towns around, where the people lived under the oppressive thumb of Rome. He did all of that, and then, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. The most horrible, barbaric, vicious means of execution that people could come up with. And then we're told, you're supposed to have that same mindset. Let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has what? Highly exalted him. He's exalted him to the highest place and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everybody is going to bow before Jesus. So here Jesus is having a meal with a bunch of people who are all desperately trying to put themselves in the position of honor. And Jesus says, guys, you're going about this all wrong. And he points them back to these words from Solomon. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. Look again at verse 27. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Don't try to position yourself so that everybody has to look up to you and treat you with honor and respect. Don't do that. Let God be the one to elevate you, but humility comes before honor. Seek the lowest place. Be the servant. Think about Jesus when he's about to die on the cross and he's meeting with his disciples. What does he do in order to demonstrate how they're supposed to live? He takes off his garment, girds himself with a towel, and begins washing the feet of his disciples, including Judas. And that foot washing thing was something that was the lowest job that a servant could have. Jesus did that. But he didn't just do it. He then said to his disciples, I've shown you what you're to do. You are to take on the role of the lowliest of servants, and you do what needs to be done.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among the great. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. Go back up to verses 4 and 5. Remove the dross from the silver and out comes material for the silversmith. We talked about this earlier in the study of Proverbs, that they would take silver, put it into a furnace, and heat it until the junk, the impurities, the dross, it's called, comes to the surface, and then they'd skim that off. And God does that with us. He puts us in situations that bring our dross to the surface. But not to shame us, but to get rid of the dross. God is in the process of refining his people so that we will reflect his glory. When the silver is pure, the refiner can see his image in the silver. And that's what he's saying here when he says, out comes something for the silversmith. Out comes material for the silversmith. This is something I can use. This is something that will be beautiful. This is something that will be valuable and lasting because the impurities have been removed. Well, likewise, verse 5, remove the wicked from the king's presence and his throne will be established through righteousness. Solomon is telling his royal sons, you need to know that you must have zero tolerance for wickedness in your own life. You can't say, well, it's no big deal. Now, Solomon didn't perfectly live that out himself. But Jesus did. Jesus didn't have some sin in his life, but nothing real big. Jesus is absolutely sinless. That's how he was able to be the sacrifice for our sins. So Solomon says, remove the wicked from the king's presence, and the king's throne will be established through righteousness. Look over at verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke for a listening ear. Why does it have to say rebuke? Because we need sometimes to be corrected. Sometimes the kindest thing that somebody can say to us is a rebuke. To go ahead and tell us we're wrong, because we're wrong. And it's much better to be corrected than to continue in stupidity. So, a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear is like a piece of gold jewelry. It's a wonderful, kind gift. Verse 15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. How hard is it to break a bone? I mean, our bones are designed to be tough. But here it says that a gentle tongue can break a bone. You know what's even tougher than that rigid bone? Gentleness. Gentleness can outdo something that is strong and rigid because God has designed it that way. And if you want to be strong, cultivate patience and gentleness. Those are two of the characteristics of love. And love is stronger than hate, stronger than violence. Love never fails. Look at verse 16. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Now, this is in keeping with an earlier proverb where we were told, eat honey, my son, for it's good. Wisdom is like honey to your soul. Here we're being told, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you'll vomit. In other words, it's okay to have some. It's not saying, oh, I'll never eat honey again. No, you can have some, but just have some. You don't want to eat too much of it or it'll make you sick. In the same way, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. Oh, no, here he comes again. When are we going to get some privacy? I can't believe this. I have this constant tension in my life because there are people who wonder why I don't come see them. And yet, one of the reasons I'm disinclined to go and see them is I don't want them to, I would rather have them sitting in their house saying, I wish he'd come see us, than have them saying, oh no, here he comes. If people are going to feel badly toward you, isn't it better to have them feeling badly because they don't see enough of you, than to have them feeling badly because they can't get away from you? This is good counsel for all of us. Verse 28, we've already looked at 27. Look at verse 28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. What's the purpose of the walls and why is it a problem if they're broken down? The walls are there to protect you. They're there to protect the citizens. And if the walls of a city are broken down, that city is defenseless. Well, if a person lacks self-control, they are vulnerable to all kinds of destructive forces. You can be taken over if you don't develop self-control. Learn self-control. It is possible to learn it. You don't have to say, oh, yeah, I don't seem to have self-control. You can get self-control. By God's grace, as you submit yourself to Him, you can learn to say no to yourself. And we all need that. Because without it, we're wide open to attack.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.